What's up, Long Beach? You're listening to Season 3, Episode 5 of Artist Banter, a daily 49er original podcast that delves into the many manifestations of artistry within our local scene. I'm your host, Julia Goldman, and today I'm joined by the Daily 49ers multimedia manager, Elle Nicklin, as my co-host. Thank you so much for being here today, Elle.
I'm very excited to be here, and yeah, this is going to be my first time on a podcast with you, 49er, so super excited.
That's great. Thank you so much. The Daily 49er has released their October issue, which is meant to highlight experiences and stories within the LGBTQ+ community. This episode of Artist Banter focuses on October themes and features MFA student C. Krob. Thank you so much for having us in your photography studio and being here today, C.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I just kind of wanted you to like give an overview of like, and this is hard to do as an artist, I'm sure, but like, what kind of like topics do you focus on in your work?
Yeah, so I have a lot of things I like to say. I am an artist. I primarily focus in photography. I do dabble outside, but usually I consider photography my like home artistic base. So recently I've been doing a lot of collaboration pieces. I also have been making a lot of film, black and white and color double exposures, where I take a 35 roll of film. And so I run it through a camera, making exposures, and then losing track of the film and then doing another one. So yeah, I am a parenting student artist. I have done my AA as a pregnant student and then my undergrad as a parenting artist student. Mm-hmm. And my grad school, I have two kids as well.
I kind of wanted to talk about Trans Iteration Number One. Yes. That was another recent, this was a solo show rather than being a group exhibition. And first of all, I'm assuming that it's about like public transportation based on the title. I might have that wrong, but I was wondering if you could talk about it.
Yeah, being trans, non-binary, taking public transportation, always in transit and conversation. And I just like the prefix trans. I thought it was really interesting. And I also struggle with naming art. And mm-hmm. So it was nice being like, okay, I can just call it trans. It covers anything that I want to talk about because it's more personal work. It's what I'm doing. It's how I commute. It's transdisciplinary. It's all the transes. So next time when I do another iteration, which I assume will probably be in my advancement in the spring, it'll probably be Trans Iteration Number Two.
Well, I love hearing your explanation of the title because it's, I mean, you say you don't like naming your work, but that's perfect. I love how it encapsulates like two very connected but different parts of your identity. I am very curious to hear you talk about like your usage of double exposures. It seemed particularly prominent in the show. I think most of the works there were double exposures or more. What is it about double exposures that like appeals to you? Why is this such a prominent feature of your work?
I think when I first started double exposures, it was on accident. I had double exposed the Sacramento Walk for PKD with my public transit commute to school. So the first roll of film, I was like, oh my God, what did I do? But it shows like the LATTC building where in downtown LA, because that's one of the stops I got on, and the windows are broken and you also see like a cystic kidney. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is just so fascinating because they're like two very separate things in my head that like unintentionally got like married together.
It was bound to.
Yeah. And so, and like the like degrading building with like this chronic health condition that like my family goes through. It was really like eye-opening seeing it and then seeing these people walk through like Sacramento are now also walking through downtown LA with me through my commute. Also back in undergrad, after my dad died, time just felt very slippery and weird and it didn't make sense. It just felt like it all melted together. Like it was like this person that I could like ask about like cultural stories and like for advice, like is no longer here. And so I've noticed in times where in life where I feel a lot of like chaos personally, unintentionally, it starts really showing up in my photographic and art practice.
So were you saying that the first roll of film you shot was an accidental double exposure? Or?
Yeah. Because I lost track and I don't know how the like tail was sticking out. So I just threw it in and because another mentor, the same mentor who was like, you need to make a lot of work in grad school, is Alejandro Sanchez, who teaches all over Southern California. Highly recommend him if you ever have a chance to like check out his work. He was like, sometimes you can't like make this the work that in your head you really want to do. Sometimes you got to make work where you are. And I was like, 20 hours a week on the bus, let's go. And it's been really interesting too, because it started because after I saw that, and I'm like, wow, this is so fascinating. But also like that, like, oh my God, I'm leaving, and just feeling very kind of more untethered. And I was finally thought I was starting to like grow roots in a place. So it started turning into a study of like, how do other people connect with living in this big city that is constantly changing? And like, it doesn't feel like things we do like make a lasting impact. And it was like, oh yeah, there are ways that people are like leaving an impact through like wet cement graffiti, or like how people do community care, and like how they show up for each other on the bus and maintain like safety through community without police has been really interesting. And I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been really cool.
Specifically about your Time Poverty Group exhibition, I know that the show was very accessible to kids, including the low mounting height and tactile nature of the exhibit. You know, like the kids running around it felt like part of the exhibit. What made these things occur to you, and in what other ways were kids included in the show?
I think it's a lot of trial and error being in art spaces, especially going to like art openings with my own kids. It's just things that I've noticed, like, oh, I'm constantly picking them up, or like, oh, I have nowhere to store this stroller. Oh, there's stairs. So like, I physically can't carry my kid. Like, how do I negotiate these spaces? So Bobby and I really tried and were really intentional about the heights we hang things. Mm-hmm. And then also, you got to have a strong snack game if you want kids to go or be welcomed into your spaces, because if you don't have a strong snack game, like, they want to leave, and it makes it so much harder to be like, hold on, I just really want to look at the art. It was really cool also having other kids there, because if there are other kids there, they're going to want to play and have fun with them, and like, they might not be as interested in the art, but like, they definitely spent more time looking and engaging with the art, which was really cool. And so especially for other parenting artists, they got to bring their kids and like have conversations and practice talking about art with them. And so, yeah, how do we like start bridging that like intergenerational gap of in the art world?
Yeah. It definitely felt like it had a different energy than a lot of the exhibitions that I see at school with the kids running around. And also at one point they were given kazoos, which was super awesome. I wanted to talk about specifically, there were two prints of yours that were like orange colored.
Yes.
A lot of people were really drawn to those. Like, I saw it all over social media, and I was wondering if you could talk about like the techniques you use, because I had never seen prints like this before, and also like what it's about.
So how I made those was I took photographs with like my cell phone of my partner parenting our children. And this was my first semester in grad school, that like a feeling that I got when I first started grad school was like, I feel like I'm missing out. And a lot of my societal expectations are like how people framed me going to school is like, it's a deficit to our family and a loss for our children, instead of like, this is adding to our family and opening opportunities for me. And so it was really like dealing a lot with that internal struggle, but it also as a non-binary person that, you know, did birth these amazing human beings, it was really weird that like I could step back and like let someone else handle domestic work. And so it's been really actually gender affirming for a non-binary person, like being like, no, it's okay, I don't have to do the like domestic labor. And I really like that they're painted negatives, because it acts as the process of memory, how it's changing from the like moment that we're experiencing it, kind of like now, like we're in the moment, we're 3D people, but if I were to make an image of it, now it's a 2D image and flat, and we lose all that like nuance. But then what happens when it gets rendered another time? Now it's my personal hand. So it's what details do I think are important? So then from those painted negatives that I make, then I make a lumen print. So what I do is I take darkroom paper out of the dark room and into the sun. And so what happens is that purpley yellow is just the silver nitrate just getting blown out. And so you've got the painted negative usually in the middle, and then on the outside was paper from, it's just like ephemera from my house. So like my kids and I would write love letters to each other because we couldn't see each other at night, or I'd miss bedtime. So I'd be like, hey, I hope something was so funny. You laughed so hard. You snorted. Mm-hmm. Or just like ridiculous little things, but like little things that like only happen in this time frame. So not viewing it as like, oh, I'm missing this, but like, this is just part of how this time frame is for our family.
I was just gonna say thank you for like explaining, because I can tell that there's like so much love in like these prints specifically, and so hearing that and like your relationship with the type of printing too, it's like, yeah, it's very heartwarming.
Absolutely. Has there been any reactions that maybe something you created that was had a personal element to you in it also resonated with someone else?
Yeah, that's, I think that's happened more with my parenting artist stuff. That's resonated a lot. And I think I'm starting to get a lot of traction with like my kidney stuff, where people are like, oh, I don't totally get it, but like, I follow you. So, and then also with the like really technical, like just dark room messing around stuff, like photographers love that. They're always like, oh, let's geek out. I want to hear about this. I want, like, especially for like people who like geeking out and just messing around in the dark room. Like we're a small niche, but like we're very, very enthusiastic. So it's
I can see it in both of you.
Yeah.
We can talk about this for a long time.
It's the L and C. We're just gonna geek out about photography at our show.
Absolutely.
On like showing your work to others, I was curious about the work about the kidney disorder. Has that been shown like publicly a lot yet, or is it like in progress?
Yeah, it's a work in progress still. So I do have this show coming up. So it is Sunday, October 29th is the opening from 5 to 7 in the Merlino Gallery between Fine Arts Building 2 and 3. And galleries ideally will be open between 12 and 5.
And those times will be Monday through Thursday, the week following the opening.
Yes.
And that's right on campus for anyone to walk into.
Yes.
For free.
Yeah, for free. And it'll be a little bit more interactive so that people can like add their handprint. And hopefully, I'm thinking it'll be a little bit educational, a little bit interactive. Bring your own photo if you have someone who's died of chronic kidney disease. I know it's not like a super fun thing, but it is also over Dia de los Muertos. So I thought it would be a fun way to like bring the community together. And for any students that do have parents who have died from chronic kidney disease, I want them to like make sure they know like they're not alone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And especially for any nursing students that are interested, like it's a patient perspective. And if I'm there, like always hit me up. I love answering questions and talking to people. Just love me through the awkward phase and then we'll be good.
That's great. Thanks for joining in on this episode of Artist Banter. Elle, thank you so much for hosting me with me today.
It was great being here, and I'm so glad I got to be with C as my first interview.
Yeah, it was great. And then a special thank you to our guest, C. Crobb, for being here too.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate y'all.
Earlier this month, Daily 49er author Samantha Cortez wrote a profile piece on C. Crobb, featuring them and discussing similar themes to today. If you want to read that piece or hear more from Long Beach's own contributors of art and music, check out our website, daily49er.com, and our socials at daily49er. To keep up to date with C's future projects, follow them on Instagram. It's at sea.krob, C.crop. We appreciate you being here. Take care and see you soon.